action, punching dangerous and delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
We were here for you geniuses out there.
Obey me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all voice bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
everybody. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to
dance. Radio.
And now for something completely different.
Wow. I'm going to do a mic check here. I didn't do a mic check earlier. I'm used to having this thing right in my face, and we're set up in a hotel room. I got to turn down the audio.
It's fuzzy math.
It is fuzzy math, Lou. That's why we started a little bit late. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. We had a little discussion interference, and Lou started an hour and two-minute sermon a little too late. But we're okay now. And what you were listening to was Pastor John Weaver from, like, 2 years ago, I think it was, or the year before, or maybe even a couple years before, from the Old Paths Conference. But that's one of his standard sermons on the Pledge of Allegiance and what the true meaning of it is.
Turn
what?
Only
what
says you're blowing out the
speakers. Whoa, Lou, are we blowing out the speakers on your end or on my end? Okay, let me turn up my headphones. You're right. I had my headphones way down. Yeah, that's okay. Cool. Thank you. I'm blowing out your speakers. How's that sound? Give me a sound check. Let me know how everything sounds, and then I'll start over again. But yeah, that was John Weaver, and he was talking about the Pledge of Allegiance, and I share, in some ways, his views. I don't get all excited about the American flag anymore. I know what it used to stand for, but I don't agree with what it stands for now. So I don't do the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't fly the American flag. We've got one upside down everywhere we go.
American flag stands for corporate scandals.
Did you do that, Lou? That's pretty cool. Lou again playing with the editing of our commander in chimp, former commander in chimp, George Bush.
Yes, sir.
I love it when he butchers their stuff and makes them say things that what they really mean.
Don't mess with Texas.
Yeah. Weren't, because we ran a little bit late, but that's fine. Thank you to Scotty38. I hope it didn't interfere with your broadcast schedule. And all the others that are picking this up downline, I apologize. I apologize deeply. But we wanted people to hear that sermon. We were hoping more people would, because lately we're getting a bunch of people to come in like an hour early to listen to the music that Lou's playing, but we didn't get that today. So it's kind of like the one time I go to do this little thing for you. It didn't work out. Only a couple people were listening. So as we tweak things out, we've got a different phone number today. Let me give you that, and I got to read it here. Aww. I wrote this on like the back of my portable sewing kit. Let's see. It's area code 559. We're still in the same area. 559-875-0827.
Yeah.
559-875-0827. I'm going to count on you guys to put it in there every once in a while because I can't even read. It's hot. It's just hot in here and nasty.
No, it ain't.
I'm sitting here sweating. I don't like the weather we've been getting.
Cold.
Yeah, Stacy and Lou are cold because they're frigid people.
I'm
and I'm just full of the passion of the cause and the fire of liberty.
Fabulous.
Lou's playing stuff. Stacy's making faces at me. For those of you that didn't know, we were actually staring at each other when we were doing that whole multiple wives thing in the pre-show discussion. Turns out that Nicholas copped up to once being a Mormon. I'm finding out all kinds of things. I found out the other day that he once was a lawyer. So he's done a lot of weird stuff in his life. Next we'll find out he was probably a member of Congress or a page or something. A page in Congress. A pagan. It'd be just as bad. Who knows what goes on inside that weird head over there. I want to invite you to go to our website, dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info. And those of you that have donated in the last few days, you need to email Lou because he's going to set you up your own Dutch Jones email account. Anyone that donated gets an email account, and you just go Lou, L-E-W, at dutchjones.info. Lou at dutchjones.info. Remember, spell Jones, J-O-N. What were you saying, Stacy? They can't hear you, but...
Yeah.
bumper stickers out to you, you know. Get that email set up. You just contact him. He'll walk you through it. If you want to have the Dutch Jones moniker on the back, you know, you can use it for all your weird stuff if you want to. Somebody yesterday, Batfag's like, how do I know this isn't the FBI and you're just collecting it? I was like, do I sound that organized? Don't you think if I was FBI, I know he was joking, but if I was FBI, do you think I'd be begging for money? They'd have me so well funded. It, you know, I'd be making all kinds of money. It's kind of like the other guys that are out there doing this. You wouldn't hear, you know, like Liberty Tree Radio, you hear them begging for stuff. Okay, I misunderstood, Olima. I gotta correct that. Nick didn't say he was once a Mormon. Huh? Okay, hit record. Lou's doing a great job today. So we're starting late here. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. If you're listening to the replay, you missed out on the first about 7 minutes of it on the replay. So you should be listening to it live. Lou forgot to hit record. But if you want to hear the entire replay, Olima's got it set up over there. You go to dutchjones.info and you can go to the archive. Now, this is a really tough show for me to do because anyone that was listening last night that listened to the last half hour, listened to the replay of the last half hour, it was a horrendous amount of information that came in the final half hour, and it was brutal. It was terrible, and of course, talking about baby Irish in the case, and there is very little. There's not much more information. I'm hearing reports that the baby was turned over to her parents again. That the sheriff stepped in, took CPS out of it, made comments like. The witnesses are saying that when the CPS took the baby to the hospital and they realized that the baby had been injured or is in some way. Ill, and that she has, you know, how do I put this? This is the eating hour for some people, but had bleeding in her diaper. And I guess the cleanest way for me to put it. And one of the CPS workers said, "We're screwed," and walked out of the room. So it's we're glad the baby's back with the parents. Let's pray. I know some people are very angry and first to assume the worst in this, but I'm praying for the psychology of the baby that it is a physiological issue, which still doesn't diminish the fact that they stole that child and that it didn't get found right away. A loving mother would have seen that immediately and she would have got medical care. The baby's still not out of the woods. I don't want that baby to have been raped. I don't want that to be the truth. I know they're capable of it. I know it goes on everywhere across the globe. I know it does. But I'm asking all of you to pray in this that the less vile outcome is the truth. However, if it comes the other way, and this is our worst fears are realized in this, I can only say to the militias in that area, to the fathers in that area, to the good militant Christians in New Hampshire, you better take action on this. And that's all I'm going to say. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but he will use men and women in his hand as a sword. He does take final authority on this. Let's be wise and be discerning in this. Now, I don't know if anyone's going to call. I mean, Sir David called. He was very angry, very passionate. He brought up the whole cultic background of the month of October. And yes, I'm not diminishing what he said. But as a Christian soldier, I understand that truth is a casualty of war. And in the fog of war, we have to discern and use our intelligence gathering to know what's really going on. I'm bowing down to the Liberty Tree Radio folks. I'm waiting to see what they say. I've heard some of their stuff from this morning that I listened to. And there's been the only new report I have is that she may have been given back to her parents. I know that they use bomb-sniffing dogs in the hospital because of threats. That's not the way to go. There are innocent people in that hospital. Whoever called in those threats was probably an FBI provocateur. That's not how we do things as Christian soldiers. We're not going to go blow up some building. We're not Muslims. We're not savages. But what I'm telling you is, bide your time, collect data, surveil every single CPS person. Because we're not going to know who it was unless the family can get names out. I know that it is leaning to that the child was sexually abused, raped, but I'm praying that that's not true. Because the physiology of that, the child may never recover from that. I would much rather have it be just some post-birth issues, some new baby stuff, because I've done some research today and it does occur, does happen. And I know what the Quarantines are saying and stuff, but I'm just praying for a less. And just, I mean, we should be enraged the fact that they even took the child in the first place and the reasons why they took the child. We don't need this to have our indignation meter go off the scale. We don't need this. And I'm going to say this flat out. They come for my children for any reason. I mean, because I don't beat my children. If I spank my children, I got a story to tell you, interesting, that came up last night. If I were to spank my children, they came for them and they used force and not deceit and didn't sneak them away when I wasn't there, there would be a struggle and there would be bloodshed. And they're going to have to kill me. And if they got them by deceit, I would hunt them down and I would make them pay. Now, I know you're saying that's bold words coming from a guy on the radio. It's bold words, but I'm telling you, that is my conviction. When I brought this to the Bible study last night, I pulled the pastor aside and said, hey, this is kind of sensitive stuff. I don't want to bring it to the whole body because, you know, there's tender people in the audience. They don't need to hear this. They just need to know that something horrible has happened. And when I told it to him, he just looked at me and he says, well, our roofer, his foreman, spanked his daughter last week for lying. She went to school and told her friends that she got a spanking for lying about something. The teacher found out about it, and they took his two daughters. They took his two daughters for over a week. They arrested him, charged him with the abuse of a child. Corporal punishment is now abuse in California. He got 2 years probation. He's going to get several days in jail, and he has to pay a fortune to get his kids back. Plus, he has to pay for counseling, court fees, penalties, and fines. It's all around us, folks. And this guy, he's a Baptist. He went to the Baptist church, and they went to their pastor. Their pastor's like, well, there's not much I can do about it. I'll show up in court with you. Had that been our church, the entire church would have shown up in every hearing this poor guy had to go through. And this has been going on for the last week, and we didn't know about it. We're like, why isn't the roof getting put on? And we found out that one of the workers had his kids taken away. I mean, they went to the school and took them. And then get this, the father told our pastor, he says, they're violating my civil rights. And he goes, uh-uh. The minute you put your kids in the public school system, you have no rights. They belong to the state. Not just the state of California, but the state. Capital S-T-A-T-E, the entire function. They belong to the Board of Education. They're a resource for the grinder. And he learned that. He learned that in court. The judge just said, nope, there's no excuse ever to spank your child in the state of California. Now, I've had the police called on me for in public spanking my child. The pastor's grandmother, or pastor's mother, spanked her grandchild in a, what was it, a grocery store last week. Winco, just a regular, you know, big grocery warehouse thing. And this lady went up to the pastor's wife and said, that old lady is abusing your child. She slapped him on the hands. She's like, okay, I'll take care of it. And they got out of the store because they knew what was coming next. They were going to call the police. So what I'm telling people, and we talked about this last night, you need to educate your kids. Because in the case of our roofer, when they took his kids, they go, oh, yeah, we get spanked all the time. Kids are honest. And when they're given candy and toys to play with, and the policeman and the psychologist, like, how are you doing? I've seen it. Oh, yeah, we get spanked all the time. We do bad stuff, we get spanked. They vilify the parents without even knowing it. What, Stace?
Well, then they're telling them it's okay to lie.
Well, it's not lying.
No. Because the girl got spanked for lying.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying. Because the child was spanked for lying, but then the state steps in and says, you can't punish your child. You're supposed to use timeouts. So what we discussed last night is, and this is some of the things that parents are having to do in the California, and I didn't know anything about this. They're telling their kids, okay, you did something wrong. It's timeout time, and then they spank them. They condition their kids to use the word timeout. Oh, I got timed out last night. Good. You know, and oh, okay, yeah. So that these spies in the public school system, the mandated reporters, won't pick up on it. So I'm going to convey that to you. You parents, or if you know parents, have them train their kids. My kids are trained to know how to talk to feds anyway, because eventually they're going to come in and pull us aside, and I'm, you know, it may be a battle. They may get us by surprise. And I tell them how to respond. And you guys know what I'm having them say. I have nothing to say to you. I have nothing to say to you. I have nothing to say to you. My kids do not talk to feds, and they may trick them or something. But if you train your kid in a roundabout way, get them to say, oh, yeah, when I do something wrong, I get timed out. And then maybe they'll stop, and they won't, you know, say it. I've never seen timeout work on kids, Warland says. Nah, it didn't work out for me. My parents tried it because, you know, we had CPS at our house. We had troubles. I got taken away from my parents and given to my sister for a while. In my case, it was a good thing because my mother was a Satanist. But that's the opposite side of the coin. They never did anything. My mother abused us, as far as I remember, never sexually, but we were beaten. We were involved in rituals. I've told the story over and over again how on one Halloween I spent the night in a crypt with some super, like, 200-year-old witch in Plymouth, Massachusetts. They stuck me in a crypt with, I guess it was a warlock, technically it was a male. And eventually when I got to Colorado, you know, I started talking about this stuff in school, and they took me away, and my sister was already estranged from my mother. She was 5 years older than, no, she was older than that than me, so if I was 10, she was 17. She was 7 years older than me and already married to a man, and I went and lived with them for one school year, I think my second grade, the whole second grade, and then I ended up going back. They completely overlooked all the satanic stuff. You know, my mom put up a good story. My father, you know, he probably stayed sober long enough during the interviews and stuff. Had not been for my stepfather, I probably would be dead now. My stepfather was a saving grace in my family, even with his weird redneck ways, which made me who I am. He saved me from my mother because I spent all my time with him once I got older. But they overlooked it. And I've seen case after case where they just overlook ceremonial abuse, ritual abuse, continual abuse, and then they do this. They take people away for getting spanked. It's insane. Gunslinger's saying, my dad gave us time out all the time. It was time out from sitting because he swatted me where I could not sit. Yeah, my dad would do the same thing. He'd say, you know, I'll swat you, and you're not going to be able to stand up. So I got to turn my phone down, too. Anthea may be calling because I've asked her to call. Okay, let me turn it. Do this. Okay. But, yeah, what's wrong? What has changed in this nation, even in my lifetime? I remember one time I didn't respond to the whistle that said we had to come home, and I was down at the general store. You know, I was probably fourth grade at the time, whatever age that is. I remember by grades. That's sadly how it is. And I remember I didn't respond. It got dark. The streetlights came on, and that was the rule. You got to be home before the streetlights come on, or you get SWAT. I remember seeing my dad walking with that switch in his hand, and I'm trying to impress the little girls and the little boys with my stories. And I got swatted all the way home, hung by my ear about 2 inches off the ground. I never, ever, because of the embarrassment. The embarrassment of being swatted in front of my friends, you know. And I always like, uh-oh, it's getting a little dusky out here. I got to get home. And, of course, my ear hurt and my bottom hurt for the next couple of days. But I never did it again. And I was a terrible kid. I was Dennis the Menace on steroids. I would break things. I would sabotage cooking plans that my mother made because it was all passive aggressive because I hated her for all the satanic garbage she was pulling. I got a story to tell out of it. But I learned from it. I learned discipline. I learned how to be a man because my stepfather stepped in and did righteous spanking where I deserved it. I don't think my stepfather ever spanked me where I didn't deserve it. And I can tell you what, a lot of times when I did deserve it, he just didn't have the heart to do it. He took me out back and gave me a stern talking to and told me to tell my mother I got whopped. What my mother did was just brutal. I mean, being beat with... I'm not even going to get into it. But it's kind of painful for me even to talk about now when I consider myself over it. I still hate that woman, and she's burning in hell because of her own choices. But and that's why I don't talk fondly of my mother. Everybody's like, in church, Father's Day rolls around. I talk about my stepdad, what he taught me. Mother's Day, I had to go all the way to my great-grandmother to find a woman when I got up and gave a testimony about how awesome my great-grandmother was, what she did during World War II. She came from Scotland. While her husband and sons were off at war, she organized the community. And they're like, why didn't you talk about your mother? I said, I don't have a mother. And it surprises people that have, you know, a normal life. They don't know what it's like. But where was CPS in my case and all my brothers and sisters and all the brutality? You know, my brother and sisters tell me stories that are worse than mine. She got tired by that time. There were 11 of us, I think. I don't know for sure because people showed up at the funeral pretending to be my siblings. And I don't know what it is, you know, if it's true or not. Where's CPS then? Where's CPS for the case in Lassen County? I did some research. Lassen County, California, back in the, I think it was the early 90s, late 80s, the CPS workers were selling the children into slavery. They were filling requests by these groups that needed slaves. And I'm talking about sex slaves, not sweatshops. It doesn't happen in America. It's sex slaves. And they would just go out and say, hey, we need... And it, the people got arrested, it got found out, but how many children? You know, do they know all the children? They'd say, hey, we need like 5 young girls. And they'd go out and they'd bust 5 families, take the kids, sell them to these set up foster homes, and then they'd get adopted, and the workers, social workers, would get kickbacks. Now, there are cases when people abuse their children and they should be taken away. But I think the authority should be within the community. It's within the family. Like it was in my case. My sister stood up and took and made sure that I had a good place, and the family got counseling and whatever, and the stuff kind of stopped after that. But the system's broken. This case with Baby Irish, whether it's horrible or insanely horrible, doesn't really matter. Child is a victim. The family is a victim. Every family in America is a victim of this, because if you read the case files on why they took the child, if you read the court order, they're taken because of a known the family is well known to Child Protective Services. I'm using CPS. They have a different initials. Okay, but they don't go into it. And then they say, there's a history of abuse, so they don't go into it. But however, the family members are militia. They're members of Oath Keepers, which is turning out they may not even be active members of Oath Keepers anymore. I've heard that too today. I can't verify that. But I got to see what Mike's saying. That he had guns and had multiple guns and knew how to use them, so therefore they had to take the child out of the home. And then Rocky, who's in the chat room now, called me a little bit before the show and said, isn't it funny how Time Magazine came out with this complete rehashing, revamping, vilifying the bulk of the militias, and then this happens? It's almost like they're working in tandem now with the media. Okay, we got to get the jury ready. We got to get them thinking wacko, and then when we take this kid, they'll back us up. Okay, thanks, Mike. I know you can't call in and you're listening, and it's funny, when you're at work, it's kind of hard to listen at work. I understand, you know, you come and go, so... Thank you so much for listening, Mike, Michigan Mike, as I call you. And congratulations to Michigan Mike. He told me today that he passed the state boards. He is now a nurse, and he's trying to get a job in a trauma situation in an emergency room, and that's going to be great training for the cause. Congratulations to Mike. I won't use your last name, and I don't know if you want me to use it, but a listener up there in Michigan who found out about us through Liberty Tree Radio, which we do, for those of you that don't know, we do that after... 6 p.m. Pacific time, we switch over. I wish it could be more. And I heard that Mark Kornke's promoting the show. Debbie told me that he goes, stand by for Dutch Jones. I'd love to get some of those. Just get him to shoot some promos, and we'll play them and send them out to you different affiliates that are picking this up. I'd love to have Mark Kornke doing that. I wish I could listen to him more, but just the cause here and everything we're doing is just so much. And it's hard for us to catch up and to find well-known. I don't know what well-known would be. Well-known means more than 30 people know who you are that have never met you. I guess I would say that. it's kind of interesting to know that Mark Kornke knows my name. And it was always my dream to have a national militia leader say my name on the air. I'm just kidding. I'm making fun of somebody you don't even know. I'm being facetious in a personal matter that I shouldn't be. The other thing in this is, and I started to go to it, that we've got to prep our kids for this. We were talking about prepping yesterday when this came out, but let's prep our families for everything. Everything you can imagine. What happens when a gunman comes in the house, kids? What are you going to do? What are you going to say when the cops separate us? And they will, trust me, I've been in this scenario. On both sides of the fence. I've been in law enforcement side, and I've been as someone who had to... deal with somebody doing something bad on the property, and rounds were exchanged. I've had to do it more than once. I'm from Colorado. We have a make my day law there. But you got to know the law where you're at and train your kids appropriately. Train your spouse. Teach them the term, I was in fear for my life or the life of another. You know, get them ready to know what to do. Which window do they go out of? Which neighbor do they go to? Or do they have a fireplace they can climb into and pull a bookcase in front of them? Make sure that you drill them on it too. I love doing it to Lou. Lou's got it. Lou's, and I'm not saying this to be insulting to Lou, but Lou would make a great soldier. That's the one thing he really excels at, and it's fun training him. My daughter Anthea, she wants to be a mermaid. So there's a lot of work to be done there, and a mermaid biologist and pray for us, because we're going to pick her up at the train station tomorrow afternoon, and there won't be a show tomorrow because we've got to drive all the way to the train station to get her. But it's a joy. We'll be back after the break. I don't know what Lou's going to do, but we're going to take a short break here, and I'm going to get some water, and we'll be back right after the break. Thanks for listening.
21, Britannia's hungry for us to end their pay. And the Blackened Hands, like lightning, ran on the rifles of the IRA. They burned their way through Munster and lay Leinster on the rack. In Connacht and in Ulster marched the men of brown and black. They shot down wives and children in their own heroic way. And the blackened hands, like lightning, ran on the rifles of the IRA. A lad of 18 years. Cork City's flames lit up the sky, but the brave boys feel no fear. The Cork Brigade with hand grenades in ambush waiting lay. And the blackened hands, like lightning, ran from the rifles of the IRA. Taken out and shot by the brave and the valiant few. Sean Tracy, Denny Lacy, and Tom Barry's gallant crew. Though we're not free yet, we won't forget until our dying day. How the blackened hands, like lightning, ran from the rifles of the IRA.
I hear they need a new lieutenant. Want the job?
I'll take it. Till I get killed or you find someone better.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention!
World order. A new world order.
Attention!
Government is the problem.
This is an emergency.
not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
that. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
That's a real one. You didn't edit that one, did you? No, you. That's actually something he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, good.
That's an old...
Thank you very much for those kind words.
No, I'm not giving you kind words, W. I can't believe how stupid you were and you still got elected.
Anyway, things are good. Your family?
People are stupid.
Oh, man. Well, this is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you from Central California at an unknown location. No, we're not in danger. We just had to transport ourselves to be a little closer to the train station so we could pick up one of our other team members, my lovely daughter Anthea, who occasionally gets to talk on the air. And so we had to be close to the train station for tomorrow, so we came down early to pre-stage. We're also making a trip. We need a new soundboard for the church. They liked our soundboard so much, and theirs was falling apart. So we came down, and we're going to tomorrow go shopping for us. Do you want to do it tomorrow or Saturday? We'll do it tomorrow. We got to go get a new soundboard for the church. Actually, two new soundboards. Because we're doing some more editing and things like that for the church, so we need them. And what you're listening to is the Dutch Jones radio program. Lou's laying on the bed. Stacy's over in the corner. We got the lights off and the fan on high. It's dark. It's like a real radio studio. I used to do radio at night when I was a kid and in college. I love this. It reminds me of... You can't see the keyboard? Yeah, what do you... I can see the keyboard. Lou's got a light for his keyboard. He's got like a little... Well, you should have brought your headlamp. I brought all my tactical gear. All my tactical gear is laying right there. You want a flashlight or something? You can clip on your forehead, and then I've got the right angle flashlight. You could hold it in your teeth, and it would probably point right down at the keyboard, Stace. Look, he's trying to help you. He's blinding you with his little light. But that's what we're doing. We're transmitting. We're broadcasting all over the place the Christian militant worldview. And I got to practice saying Christian militant because it is far more important that we're Christian so that the militant part works out right. We must be Coram Deo in the face of God. We must be Christian soldiers as both men and women. You all have your role to play. We've had that discussion before. I'm not going to belabor it. But you know where I stand on it. And I was talking today with one of my good friends, Frank, and we're saying we've got to really make sure when we're because I'm the recruiter and I'm bringing in people, that they get the Christian part first. That they get the Christian part first. We got somebody coming to the church this Sunday, and they were sent up here by a Southern militia who, hey, you guys are Christian, you might want to check out these guys. And we're going to get that. We don't know anything about them, but on the phone, you do understand that we're Christian first. You're going to sit through an hour and a half of gospel, music, teaching, then you're going to sit in fellowship with Stacy's, oh, I love it, and then the training comes. And this isn't we're not getting any government funding, so we're not going to be they can't tell us what we teach. We teach Christianity first because the history of Christianity, you know, you study John Knox, you know, you study Calvin, you study Zwingli, which you should be studying if you want to be a good militia member and a good militant, Christian militant. See, I caught myself there. There is no other way to do it for me. Does that mean that these unchristian militias aren't going to do some good? Yeah, the Lord can use them in their hand, but I don't think they're going to be ultimately successful. I'm sorry. And that offends a lot of people. I get more, I don't want to say hate mail, but arguments from people who go, hey, I like your show, but why are you bagging on the non-Christian militias? You need us. I go, no, I don't need you. You need Christ. You need Christ first in everything we do, all of our training. And because of operational security issues, I'm not going to be discussing in depth what our specific training is going to be. And you should be doing that also. You should be more tight-lipped about your more specific, narrow-focused training. But the general stuff I'm going to keep sharing with you guys as what is the topic for the next half hour. Now, ideally, if you're doing the right thing as a good Christian man in your family, or if you're a single mom and you know you filled that vacuum for now, I'm not going to judge you on that. It's between you and God. And you need to teach your children, whether they're little girls or little boys, what to do. You know, ideally, they should know how to shoot as soon as they're emotionally, morally, and physically able to pull a trigger. Some kids it's younger, some kids it's older, some kids it's never. I'm going to be honest with you. Some kids are designated to be litter carriers in this class. Some grown-ups I know shouldn't be carrying guns. So you've got to teach them what happens if you're the primary defensive mechanism in the home and the home gets invaded and you go down. Or they're at school and that armed security guard that's in every single public school, because I know you can't all homeschool. I wish you could like we do, but I know the situation. What happens when that security guard, that rent-a-cop or that assigned police officer on extra duty has got what? Yeah, one cop for 1,000 kids in a school, and he gets dropped by an active shooter coming out of the school grounds, whether it's a student, a terrorist, whatever, and that gun's laying there. Does your child, does your daughter, your son know what to do with that pistol? Now, even the NRA wants to teach everybody, oh, leave it alone, go tell a grown-up. You know, and that's what they, oh, they're bad, they're evil. They're the same to me as if there's a chainsaw on the ground versus a handgun. And what if that child is the last line of defense for that classroom? Do you want to give them some knowledge? Do you want to just go identify the body out in the gym when everything's over and go, man, I should have told my kid how to handle this pistol? You need, and I can't go into the details on the radio. We're talking about working out a video on this. Lou and I are really, really getting motivated to make these videos. Teaching the differences between a revolver and a semi-automatic and the different types of safeties on the semi-automatics. Not too many police officers or security guards are carrying revolvers anymore, so just give them a briefing on it, show them how to use it. If you have to, go to a range and rent some guns and show them where the safeties are, where the slide locks are. One of the things that I like to teach is no matter what, when you pick up a gun, you do a chamber check, a magazine check, and a safety check on it. You just look at it. First thing you do is you see it on the ground, you firmly pick it up after you identify that it's not damaged in any way, because guns don't just go off unless there's something horribly wrong. I'm going to try and ingrain that in everybody's head. I got so sick and tired of people saying, oh, guns can just go off. Watch where your muzzle is. Yeah, your finger does it, or an obstruction in the well where the trigger is does it. Or unless Lou can use his mind like he's practicing to make guns go off in people's holsters.
I said unless you made it.
Yeah, I know. Unless I made it go off. Yeah, I know. Unless I made the gun, so if I make the gun, it could go off for no reason at all. Okay, thanks, Lou. He doesn't get a mic tonight because we don't have enough microphones with us. But he's still trying to be a Weisenheimer. Ooh, you're going to get a timeout when this is over. And I don't mean the sitting down kind.
Block your timeout.
Yeah, you're going to block my timeout. This is going to be fun after the show. But we teach them to identify the types of weapons. What if it's a 1911 or a Glock? Hopefully it's a Glock. The point-and-shoot plastic combat Tupperware. Most officers are carrying those because most officers are idiots and that's what they need to do. But in their defense, the time to, from removing it from the holster to putting a round into a target is very low on a Glock. I was surprised to do some reading on that recently. And it's okay to see, that it works, simple. So if teach your children what to do, where to aim, how to aim. How to seek cover and concealment. You're going, oh, this is going to freak my kid out. Do you want a kid that's a little more aware or a dead kid? Do you want a kid that's going to be mowed over and then someone's going to go in and kill 15 or 20 other kids from your community? Or do you want to see the news like, lone gunman takes out security guard, fifth grader picks up gun and dispatches and destroys the attacker?
It's a long headline.
It's a long headline, but it would work. It'd be, student saves the day, that's what they'll say. If they report it at all, honestly, they're not going to want people to know that some kid took out that Muslim terrorist or that psycho teacher or the janitor who finally snaps. The janitor who got the job after coming back from Afghanistan because he couldn't get a real job because he couldn't pass the psychological profile because of all the horrible things he did over there were haunting him. Let me get off my soapbox here for a minute. Teach them to secure the room. Teach them, if they don't have a gun, to swarm that guy and just beat him with everything that's in the room. Don't raise sheep. Raise sheepdogs. Raise a couple wolves if you think the kids get the makeup for it. You know your children. I don't. Teach your kid that a pencil is a lethal weapon and let them take them out back, put up a target, and teach them where to strike on a human body that's bigger than them with a pencil. Some of the nice fleshy parts. So, and teach them to sneak up behind and just reach around and take out an eyeball or stick it through a throat. We're at war, people, not just with the New World Order, but with the criminal elements that the New World Order allows to exist.
Take over.
Do not think for a minute that crime rates are not part of the battle. Do you not think that school shootings... I mean, we just had one here the other day in Southern California. A guy went into a daycare and started shooting. I just heard that this morning. I was listening to LA News because I couldn't get the local news. And I was like, the guy's being arraigned. He pled no contest or something, or not guilty to shooting up a daycare center. I was like, what? Who shoots up a daycare center? That's just pure evil. Even as much as I hate my worst enemies, I would never walk into an Islamic daycare center and shoot babies. That's the difference between us and everybody else on this planet. All the other freaks that are on this globe going around the sun. We value human life. Even the life of our enemy, we value to a point where we only want to take it when it's necessary. But you've got to love your children far more than you love your enemy, right? Love them so much that you will train them. It's not going to freak them out. It's not going to hurt them. In fact, it's going to save lives. It's about saving lives. Always sounds like William Shatner. It's about lives. We've got to save lives. You know, this whole needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Not when the few are my kids or my wife. Have you trained your kids if you're in the mall and something goes on what to do? Line up behind daddy and begin the retreat while I'm laying down a field of fire. We had a situation today, and someone's going to say something. The pen may be mightier than the sword, but in combat it would rather have a claymore. Yeah, the pen's mightier than the sword, except when you're fighting somebody with a sword. You know, very, 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 very close, yeah. So that's a good point in there. Who said that? Was that Warren? I can't read anymore, Warren. Yeah, it all depends on whether or not you got the sneak attack. If he's focused, if he's disemboweling your teacher and you can jump on his back and take one of those mechanical pencils and just sink it into his fleshy neck while you're gouging his eyes out with your other hand, think how athletic your kids are. You know, they're going to be like little attack dwarves. Ah, someone walked by the window. Blow the claymores. We've been infiltrated. Do you have plans? I was saying today, we were in a Wendy's at lunch. And these two very creepy-looking gang members walked around the building twice, looking in the windows. So I immediately put my hand on my weapon. Then they started looking in the windows at us, and I started mad-dogging them. And when they realized I was mad-dogging them, they wedged themselves. You know how Wendy's are designed with the concrete pillars on the corners, you know, and then there's all glass? They actually took up positions where peeking around the corner to look inside. And they had baggy pants, they had the bandanas. It was two African-American gentlemen. Not that it matters, but that's the kind of gang they were in. I don't know, the color was blue. What is that? That's Crip, or who knows, in Visalia. They're everywhere now. And so I just told Lou and Stacy, hey, you know, I don't know what's going on here, but these guys are acting kind of weird. Then they came in and sat down. So I'm like, okay. And I go, Lou, you know, you got a weapon, you got a blade? And he's like, yeah. And I said, okay, don't do anything unless I do anything. Because I thought they were casing the place, waiting till employees, you know, were alone in there, and then they were going to rob them. And so I'm like, let's just keep an eye on them. Let's eat our food. You know, I was very vocal and talking to Lou and letting them know that I wasn't an easy target if that's what they were thinking. You know, big fat white guy sitting over there. But I was wearing my tactical belt with everything on and then my jacket over it. So I was ready to go. I was really happy. I was like, this is a pretty good situation to be in. They sat in a corner. But the whole time, we knew what we were going to do. I said, our goal is just to get out of here as fast as we can. If they come near us, we take them out. I felt completely comfortable. There was no fear involved. I didn't see any fear on your guys' face. And what it ended up doing, when we got out of the parking lot, they were waiting for an employee. I mean, they were checking out the security cameras. And I don't know if they were doing it on purpose. You know, that's fine. You know. They don't need a safety because they're never loaded. I hope you're talking about the pen, because my guns are always loaded. My safeties are never on. Talking about what? Oh, French firearms. French firearms are never loaded. I get it. That's the other thing. Every gun is loaded. Every gun is ready to go. But you still check to make sure. Chamber check, mag check, function check if you have to, if you're not familiar with the weapon. And if you have to, jack a round out. You know, so you make sure that you got a fresh round in there. You may do a chamber check, and it could be an expended round because there was a malfunction. You know, and so the way they always trained us was you pick up a weapon on the battlefield, you eject whatever round's in there and go for a fresh one. If you have a fresh magazine, put it in. Because everybody goes, well, I could tell by the weight. Yeah, you're in battle, your adrenaline's zipping through your veins, your heart's pumping, you know, your vision's narrow, and you're going to tell me, oh, this is 37 ounces, so I know it's full. Oh, this magazine only feels, you know, whatever it is. But don't kid yourself. Always do a check. get behind cover, check the weapon. Teach your kids to do the same thing. What happens if daddy gets shot and that gun goes flying? You know, do your kids know how to function your weapon? Do they know where you keep your ammo on your body or in your house? Do you pre-stage weapons in your house? And I'm not talking just about firearms. I'm talking about really nice, inert-looking things that people won't even notice, like little wrought iron devices that look real pretty on the wall but come off real easy and make, you know, will just take a skull out. Yeah. I'm talking about pre-planning, folks, and letting your kid know. You don't let them know everything. You know, you don't tell them where the thermal nuclear detonators are. But you show them where the stuff that if you're not there, are you there all the time? I mean, it's my story is sad. I see my daughter 2 to maybe 4 days a month, if I'm lucky. So I'm not there, so I have to instill in her a sense that she's trained. And I know she has. She's done it already. She's proven that she's getting the training that her mother, her birth mother, hasn't perverted her mind. She's gotten in trouble for stabbing people with pencils in school that were beating up on her, bigger kids. She lets them have it with a pencil, and I'm like, pfft. She was defending herself. I don't care if she gets in trouble. Good. She gets expelled. She comes to live with me and gets homeschool. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, there I used Yiddish. I think yada, yada, yada is Yiddish. I don't know. Chaim. Chaim. Shalom. We've been watching Krav Maga videos, and I just can't get past the accents. Yeah, it's like controlled vomiting. It's not really a language. But we do what we can with our kids and pray that they... that some of it sinks in, it all won't, but some of it will. Teach them how to deal with rifles. Maybe a SWAT team's going to come through, and one of those bad boy trained city police officers that gets to do SWAT once a month will drop his shotgun because the active shooter or shooters takes him out. Does your kid know how to function a shotgun? Do they know how to rack it? Do they know a semi-auto versus a pump? You know, and make them aware of all the safety stuff too. Be aware of your backstop. Is this bullet going to go through that thug? Travel down the hallway and take out somebody in the street. Teach them about the angles of shooting, dropping to one knee and letting that bullet go into a wall or into a ceiling. I can't imagine how bad you would feel in the morgue thinking of all the things you could have taught your daughter or your son when you see them laying there. And it's not just school, it's walking on the street. They walk by an alley and they see something they're not supposed to and things go bad. Are you teaching them to avoid those things? Are you teaching them to use their brain as their primary weapon? You have to. Nobody else is going to do it. The government won't do it. In fact, the government will probably, if they find out you're doing it, they're going to take your kids away. But I would rather have my kids be alive and me be in jail than have them on a slab somewhere or worse, like what happened to this baby, because... You know, you don't teach your daughters to fight back. If the little girls in America were taught rapid knee to the groin tactics and gouges to the eye, the rate of sexual assault would wither. If you would teach your women to be defenders of their own body and to be alert and aware and not make stupid decisions, sure, teenagers are going to make stupid decisions, but not in life-threatening situations. If you've got that kind of communication with your kids, take advantage of it now before it's too late. Before it's too late. I'm going to give the phone number out again. I don't know if everybody wants to call, but 559. That's 559-875-0827. We're not even sure if it's going to work really well, but we'll give it a try. It's a speakerphone with a microphone hanging over it. And it's only for today. And if somebody else answers, just say, I want to talk to Dutch. You know, because I'm going to try it. As soon as it rings, I'm going to hit it, tell you to stand by. I'll finish my thought, and then we'll put you on the air. Now, we're coming up on the end of this hour. We're going to be on Liberty Tree Radio next, for those of you. Are there any guests in there? Is everybody hardcore? No, there's one guest. Somebody just hanging out as a guest. That's fine. We'll switch. We're not switching anything. You'll still be able to hear it here, but Liberty Tree Radio will pick us up, and that's great. And we'll. I don't know if we're going to talk about Baby Irish. I've said everything I know. I don't know any more about it. I'm checking to see here if anybody put anything new up here. Oh, I got some 7.62 by 54R on Chargers. 600 round case. Let me see how much this is. Somebody's telling me. Everybody knows I'm a Nagant freak. So I get, nice strippers. They're on stripper clips. He's like, hey, not that kind of stripper. $179. Wow, for 600 rounds? 7.62 by 54R. The website is aimsurplus.com. It doesn't say corrosive. The condition picture feed. 147 grain full bimetal jacketed bullet, lacquered steel case, and corrosive Berdan primer. You're right, Lou. Packed 5 rounds on steel Mosin-Nagant charger, 300 rounds to a sealed zinc can, and 600 rounds, 2 cans, to be hinge-latched together while supplies last, sold as 600-round case only. So it's corrosive, and for those of you that are new to the shooting world, that means clean it as soon as you're done. Otherwise, you'll ruin your weapon. There'll be all kinds of material stuff that's terrible and all that stuff. No, the baby didn't die, Rocky. We heard the baby was back with the parents, and that the sheriff's the small victory in this is the sheriff stepped up and did what the sheriff is supposed to do. Graham242 saying that they're picking up Nagants M91s. Good choice, great choice. I worked out a trade for a couple, and I'm hoping it's still going through. We'll see. You never know. But Nagant's always a good thing to have. I have mine set up for scout, and I went to shoot it, and the scope is all messed up. I mean, it's just bad, and when I went to adjust it, it didn't seem to be adjusting right. I think Lou takes my rifles out and bangs them on the sidewalk when I'm not around to get back at me. He just smacks them around, kicks them, throws them up in the air, and runs away. Because it's kind of weird. No, I didn't drop it. I didn't drop it at all. The door dropped it. Now he's blaming the door. But that's what happens. Ah, CZ-52 is a good gun, too. I had a couple of those. I like those. If I remember right, those are the ones that are copies of, like, a Walther or something, right? I'm trying to remember which CZ I had. I had, like, a little 380 thing that I gave away. After my divorce, I had this sense of, like, I'm just going to give everything away, and I'd sell what I could. Now, if you live in a good state and you can pick this stuff up, be picking it up. What was that, Lou? That was a terrible sound. Get enough for you and maybe a couple stragglers that may show up. You never know who's going to be over, what kin's going to be at your house when this thing sets off. I always like to say have 3 for everyone in your family and then maybe a couple more complete kits. When I say kits, I mean LBE, all that, so you can just, you know, your boss and his wife are over for, you know, for dinner to, you know, you're trying to impress your boss. Next thing you know, martial law gets declared and, hey, boss, this is it. You're either with me or against me. You can go try and get through the roadblocks, or you can follow me and my bug out, you know, pick up your kids and head out. You don't know how it's going to happen. Same thing with gas masks, all that. Which, with that said, we keep selling our gas masks. And we need to get some for our own. And it's just, you know, moving everything around. No ID, no paperwork at the right dealer at the gun shows. Yeah, that's still going on. Ohio's pretty good. Nevada, if they even think you're from California, they're gonna shut the doors on you, not let you in. I recommend that people just get out of California if you can. And if you're tied here by God's will or children or jobs, I'll pray. Pray hard for a sign. You know, I've got lots of offers to go a lot of places, but I still feel like we're supposed to be here for now. If this stops bearing fruit, if I don't see the movement growing here, then that's another choice. But we do what we got to do, and we supply ourselves as best we can. People come into our house, and we've got these, you know, the Tupperware containers full of food, ammunition, clothes, medical supplies. And, you know, it's not like we're hoarders, but it's hard to get around our house now because not only, 'cause where we are, we can do kind of a garrison defense for a little bit, unless it gets serious. But we're set up to throw everything in 2 vehicles and drive out. And we've got bug out plans, we've got back roads we want to go on, you know, it all depends on what the Lord has planned for us. So get your kids involved in this. Don't be the dad whose wife isn't behind it, she knows nothing about it. You've got to convince her. If she's your wife, if she's a good Christian woman, she's going to listen. The saddest thing I see in this are guys, I can't come to your church because my wife doesn't like it. Well, you need to sit your wife down and reestablish who the authority is in the jurisdiction. And I know a lot of you women don't like that, but there are roles to be played. I don't go into the kitchen and start moving stuff around. That's not my jurisdiction, unless Stacy asks me to. But my jurisdiction is trainer of the family. She knows that. And sometimes it's hard, but we work around it because we love each other. We love God. We love God more than we love each other. That freaks some people out when you make statements like that. But it goes back to what I was saying, I think, at the beginning of the hour. You got to be a Christian militia first.
See a new world coming into view.
What's the area playing that for?
A world in which there is the very real
prospects
of a new world order.
Oh, this is the song? Okay. Okay, well, we're about to switch over, and we're going to... Yeah, it depends which vehicles are working, that's true. We're going to be back after the break. Liberty Tree Radio will be here, and we'll be broadcasting over them. So thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Means that it's sovereign. It's, you've been given sovereignty, and you're viewed as a sovereign entity. And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a
house without a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
Government is an emergency.
Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to catch Jehu's
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
The country, this country, is a fabulous country.
Well, we're back, and welcome to all our Liberty Tree Radio listeners over there at libertytreeradio.4mg.com and on, what is it, Live 365. Boy, it was seems like 3 or 4 years ago I started over there and couldn't figure it out, so my hat's off to Ed for making it work. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program, giving you the Christian militant worldview, coming to you from Central California. We're at an undisclosed location, although I will give the phone number out, and any genius with a computer can find us. If they wanted to. We're not hiding. We're not doing anything wrong. We're telling the truth. We're spreading the truth. We're trying to give you a slightly different view of what militia is all about. We're Coram Deo in the face of God. We're Christian soldiers. So whether your issue be the Muslims, 9/11 was an inside job, the New World Order, the Jesuits, Zog, whatever you want to call it, we are a full buffet of enemies here. We take on all enemies of Christ. We always say the enemy of my enemy is, well, still my enemy. Although Lou says one time I said the enemy of my enemy is not so bad. Not that bad. And I may have said that. He's got a better memory than I do. Well, fortunately during the break, Ed Kornke checked in because he was hooking up the link, the audio link, through Ustream and Ubroadcast. And he's got some information here, in fact, that the baby has been returned conditionally to the parents. They're under a gag order. They're not allowed to discuss the case. That can be good or bad. I mean, I don't like gag orders, but I like things in the full light of day, but sometimes in an investigation you have to do it. Now, it has also told us that they pulled in the foster parents, but they've been released. So we don't know what that means either. I've seen lots of child abuse cases where they release them, they bring them back, they release them, they bring them back. It all has to do with jurisprudence and the rights of the people, you know, all that kind of stuff. Somebody, Warland, saying there's enough in this case to make anyone gag or make him gag. Yeah, it's just sad. I don't know what happened with the protest. Any information on the protest would be greatly accepted. I scoured things. I tried calling. I had the numbers posted on my Facebook for the CPS agency. I'm calling it a CPS agency. That's not what they call it there. For the hospital, for all that kind of stuff, and the numbers have all been disconnected. So I assume that you guys just overwhelmed them across the country, you know, not just the Dutch Jones and Liberty Tree Radio guys. You're not the only ones. That other Jones reporter guy that I don't like so much, you know, the guy that's been doing it forever, he reported on it. Alexis Jones, Alexia Jones. I don't want to start a fight with him. He'd probably squish me. But, I mean, physically, just roll right on over me and just squish me like a bug. I'm getting smaller, and he seems to be getting bigger. But he's got a megaphone, and I'm scared of megaphones. I shouldn't be doing that. I don't know why I'm doing that. There's a YouTube video of the parents getting the baby back. It looks like they were at the rally when they filmed it. Okay, good. Anybody that's got a link on that, get into the Ubroadcast chat room or email it to me at dutch@dutchjones.info. I want to see that. I'll get some stuff here. Everybody's sending me stuff on ammo. I'm going to post more stuff on ammo, but we're going to talk about this a little bit. There is very little that I can do being here in California except be enraged over this issue. There is very little that I can do except share what little information I have and try to inspire others to stand up for this. I like the quote. I'm going to misquote it, but I'm going to paraphrase. When Mark, on one of his hours, because we listen to him out of order sometimes when I podcast him, said, you know, I can't not tell you to take action. You know, because people were calling up that were very angry. People were very furious about this, and I was. I had to take a break just to finish the show, and then when I went to Bible study, poor pastor, we're discussing, you know, America's providential history, and I come in there and say, hey, I got some information that we need to discuss, and of course, it's kind of weird, and I'm going to recap this from the first hour. Then he said, we've been trying to put a roof on our building. We got all the materials there. The roofer didn't show up, and we found out that last week, the foreman of the roofing company spanked one of his daughters for lying. She went to school, mentioned it to another classmate in front of a teacher, and they took his kids away for 8 days. He was arrested. His wife was arrested for abuse. He got like whatever, you know, 10 days in jail, 20 days in jail, a huge fine, 2 years probation. I mean, that quick. That quick this all happened. I mean, family court is amazing. He got his kids back today. But he's under all this scrutiny, and he has to go to counseling. He has to pay for everything. He has to pay for these fines. I mean, it was weird. It was like I go from this something that's half the continent across, and then it's a guy on our own street. Now, he goes to the Baptist church, and they're kind of a milquetoast 501c3 Baptist church. And their pastor just kind of went, well, there's really nothing we can do. I don't, you know, we'll show up in court for you. Had he been a member of our church, and it may still happen, the pastor, just out of furiousness, our pastor's going to go down and give it to the courts. It's insane what they're doing. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I did a little bit of research. I was talking about this. Lassen County, California, in the late 80s and early 90s, they were selling kids. They were selling kids. CPS was taking orders for kids and selling them into sex slavery. People went to prison over it, and then it got hushed up because they don't want to know. Now, Rocky is in there. Rocky's got a good website. Please, Rocky Hill Ranger, put the website in there. Thank you, Rocky Hill. Just put it in there. This is something. It's too long to read. It's youtube.com/watch, all that. I'll put it in on my Facebook, too, because that's important that they see it. So those of you that are listening over Facebook and all that stuff, let me copy link location. Excuse me, guys, I can't do three things at once. So, and then kidjack.com, KIDJACKED. It's not about this case specifically, but it's in general about the evil of the CPS movement. And since I can't give you detailed information on this specific baby Irish case, hang on. I want you guys to at least explore the depth of this problem. Wow, this is like a huge post. I don't know if it'll post it all on one. Okay, there it is. Cool. Now I can... great. Thank you, Rocky, for posting that. I'll make sure you get a kudo when I see you next. Oh, I got to stop it.
This is George Hemminger.
Okay, hang on here. Lou, you see it? Can you go to it to play it for me? Because what we'll do is it's... how long is this? This is live radio the way it goes. Ed told us about this, and somebody just posted it up there. Rocky Hill, is this the video that Ed was talking about? Is this about giving the baby back? I need to know. Tell me what this is before we play it. I need some background on it because I can't play it while I'm doing this. But it's just a history one. It's not a current one that Ed was talking about, is it? No, it's an older one. I want a newer one. If we can find the one Ed's talking about. I want to find the current one. See if somebody, if Lou, try and find it, and we want to play the audio from that if we can. Because I've already played a bunch of the older ones and stuff. So I just want to make sure that it's something that people will be benefiting from new information before we play it. I just want to rehash old stuff. You guys that have been listening on Liberty Radio before me, they're like, why do I have to hear the same stuff over? There are people that I know that listen round the clock to Liberty Tree Radio. I mean, that must be great, getting all that information. People that download it and everything. I wish I had the time to just listen to every single show 24 hours a day over there at libertytreeradio.4mg.com. libertytreeradio.4mg.com. If you're one of my listeners, check it out, folks. You got to get over there. We've benefited greatly from their listeners. People that are listening on Watchmen Radio, people that are listening on all the FM little stations, go to that website and check it out. I had somebody contacted me yesterday. They want to know if we sold night vision goggles. I'm like, there's no reason for me to. Go check out the intelligence report and contact them about it, because I can't specialize in everything, but I'm constantly hearing, and I forgot his name. I feel like an idiot. The gentleman, the co-host over there that has all the night vision stuff. Okay, there's not much audio to it. Okay, thanks, Ed. I appreciate that. One of the things I love about live radio is breaking news, and if I can bring breaking news, I always try to do that. And rather than me blabbing about it, I want you to hear it from the source. I'm real big on that. I like to hear sources and have you transfer it into your head straight, not me trying to filter it. Because no matter what I do, it's going to get filtered. If I'm, you know, doing a synopsis of it, it's gonna hit you, and you're gonna be like, huh? Don Betcher, thank you, Don Betcher. I knew it was Don, but I couldn't remember his last name. I thought it was Don Butcher. I'm always bad at that. I'm terrible with names. I'm still calling Stacy Pam, and she slugs me. Don's the co-host, Don Betcher. So if you go to Liberty Tree Radio, you can check it out. Okay, here it is. Lou, you see it in there? Click on it and play it, and let's see what's going on there. And if it's just a bunch of guys screaming bad words, I'll dump it. Oh, it's music. Huh? What are they showing, Lou?
Folks, this is Cheyenne Marie Zelvia Irish.
Come on, Daddy.
Cheyenne Marie Zelvia Irish.
She's sitting there with her baby and holding her, and it's beautiful. The father's there. There's another woman there in the background. She's got her baby back. You can just see the joy. Oh, it's a beautiful little baby girl. Beautiful little baby girl. Fortunately, she won't remember any of this, but of course, there'll be all kinds of media and things for her. She's feeding it with a bottle, and I don't blame them for taking the gag order. I would do anything to get my kid back, and then I would disappear. But I would make sure that on the music, it's just like, what's it say there? The family cannot discuss the conditions. Okay, go ahead and just take it out. Just fade it out. Okay, so we see that. It was joyous to see the baby together. You guys couldn't see it. I don't know how to make the video go out from there to here. It's kind of weird, but at least we heard a little bit there. The baby is back with the mother. It's confirmed. Lou saw it with his own beady little eyes. Lou, are you crying?
No.
That's okay, Lou. That's beautiful. I mean, a Christian man has a big heart. That's awesome. I'm. It doesn't take away the edge of how I felt last night when Sir David called and kicked me in the face with this. But it's wonderful, and it is. I'm going from crying yesterday because of anger to we're all crying here because we're seeing the baby back. And you militias in that area, Concord, New Hampshire, you better be protecting that family, or I will have no respect from anyone from your militia area. I won't. I don't want to hear about it. I want to hear you brag about this later. Look what we did. You better be picketing around that house to protect them. And you better be surveilling the CPS workers. Watch them. Don't hurt them. Don't violate their civil rights. Don't give them to Bubba so it can be done to them what they may have done to that baby. But you watch them because they're going to try and sneak away. That's what they do. It's like the Catholic Church. They'll move these people around that do this stuff. And if it's the foster family, watch them. Because as cool as it is that the sheriff stepped in finally, it's too little too late. The child was taken away. The child may have, it looks like it was violated. That's what the evidence, you know, that she, yeah. I'm at a loss for words, and that's rare for the old Dutchie. I'm one of those guys that doesn't shut up, and I can't even come to it. But you guys up there in the militia need to protect this family. You need to do everything you can to ensure that justice is done. And if the sword of the magistrate doesn't do it, biblically, you are called to do it yourselves. But let's give the magistrate, let's give that sheriff a chance to make this right. You know, that's what we have to do as Christians. And let this anger that we're all feeling right now turn into something solid. Turn into resolution that we've got to watch each other and not let this happen again. You know, we can't be just thinking that it's not going to happen. Yeah, I've seen RoboCop 3, Ed. I almost called you Dutch. That's how much of a self-centered egomaniac I am. Yeah, Ed, I have seen RoboCop 3. Which part are you talking about? Oh, it is. He's saying that Detroit. Remember in RoboCop 3, it was always Detroit where the corporation came in with the new crime-fighting tactics and they took over the police station. And it's they're actually private police companies are moving into cities. And Ed's saying that it's happening in Detroit now. You guys, I was going to tell a story, and I may wait till the second half hour, about a guy down south somewhere. He didn't pay a $75 fire protection fee, so the fire department showed up and just stood there and watched his house burn and his dogs get burned alive because he didn't pay his tax. Because it's a private corporation, you know, because you think about it. When you go to your county yard, it says the corporate yard. They're not sworn to protect you. They're sworn to protect those who pay for it and pay for the fee. Now, had I been on that engine, what I would have done is I would have shown up and fought the fire and then billed the guy for it, you know, make him pay his fair share. They're saying, Ed's saying that they want to destroy a quarter of the homes in Detroit. You know, I haven't been to Detroit since 1982, and it was bad then. But what was it? 248,000 homes were foreclosed in the last 3 months, and the bulk of those were in like Detroit and Las Vegas. There's all kinds of empty homes out there, and they are just waiting to attract riffraff, both riff and raff. Yeah. And I know that's the excuse they're going to use. Ed's got another YouTube up there, Lou. Even if your home is in good shape, they want to destroy it. Oh, this is completely different than the story I heard. You want to play that, Lou?
These images may look like postcards from the Great Recession, but for Detroit, it's more like the Great Reckoning. After decades of decay, the city is doing something dramatic.
I am unveiling a plan to demolish 3,000 dangerous residential structures this year and setting a goal of 10,000 by the end of this term.
The goal of Detroit's grand demolition plan? Bulldoze one quarter of the city's neighborhoods. The blue dots are slated for demolition.
All right, Kurt, let's take a drive. All right.
The plan wasn't pulled out of thin air. Kurt Metzger led a team of land surveyors that measured how much of the city's neighborhoods is vacant.
Look at all the boarded up homes right here.
Metzger's group found one-third of the city's residential areas are empty. That's roughly 45 square miles.
This is going to require some of the folks in some of these neighborhoods to move.
Exactly. I mean, what the idea is, and nobody's got the final plan, and certainly nobody's done it at this magnitude, but it's trying to come up with how do we start to densify the population.
Densify by moving residents out of failed neighborhoods that will be demolished and into healthier communities.
Didn't cover
the city
this last
won't
month.
Have much of a fight on its hands when it comes to leveling this house. It's obviously vacant and there's nobody home. The problem is when there is somebody home and they don't want to go.
Bridgette Pearson doesn't want to leave, even though she lives right next to a vacant, burned-out home.
So if the city of Detroit comes over and knocks on your door and says, ma'am, I'm sorry, but we'd like you to move, what do you say?
I say no.
You say no?
I say no.
The city that put the world on wheels may have run out of gas, but that ain't the end of the story.
Wow. Detroit civil rights leader Reverend Horace Sheffield opposes any plan to relocate residents.
Unbelievable, man.
Even though the house he grew up in is in ruins.
Well, I know my grandmother and grandfather probably turning over in their grave. This was the first piece of property that my family ever owned in the United States of America.
He says the residents whose homes are targeted for demolition are more than statistics.
It's almost like a form of ethnic cleansing. I call it poor cleansing.
But there are other voices in Detroit sounding strong support for the demolition plan.
Why is it a need, do you think?
Because the people are tired of seeing the city, explode.
Johnny Bassett started playing music in Detroit a half century ago when Motown was king, long before the city was singing the blues.
You can't go back to what it was. You have to move forward and make it better.
Tired of the same old song, the Motor City could use a new tune. Jim Acosta, CNN, Detroit.
Wow, CNN. We use that as news reporting, so you're not infringing upon copyright and satire, because I'm going to make fun of it. It's amazing to me. It was in the last 3 months that I talked about city engineers, civil engineers, saying they were going to do this, and I told you guys they want to densify the population into high-rises and controllable areas. And it's sad that they've got people in their own city thinking this is a good thing. Well, it's simple. When your neighbor's house is getting bulldozed, it's a good thing. If you're already in the redevelopment zone, those of you that don't know what those things are, they're federally funded zones. They're called redevelopment zones. They'll set up redevelopment agencies. They'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to decide how millions or billions of dollars are going to be spent. And there's very little input from the public because they don't even announce these meetings. I've been involved in them. I've worked for civil government from a public safety standpoint. Where do the fire departments go? Where's all this stuff going to go? I've been to the meetings, and almost nobody shows up to them. And they really want you to live, work, shop, and if they're going to allow it, worship, all within 3 miles of the central locations for transportation. That's what they want to do. They're planning a great big hammer to come down, and Detroit's the first one. I'm surprised they didn't do it in New Orleans first. All those buildings sitting there and rotting that they're not doing it in now from Katrina, but it seems like most people, and maybe Detroit, and no offense to you folks in Michigan, we have a lot of Michigan listeners, but very few people like Detroit. I don't know of anybody that I know, in my experience, the only time I went there, I was like 12 or 13 years of age, and my father and I got robbed at knife point in Detroit, and that's the only time I've been there. That's my whole concept, sitting in a truck while it's being unloaded and having some whacked out dude jump up in the truck with a knife and put it to my throat so my dad would give him a CB and a radar detector. And so people are going to go, oh, we can do it to Detroit. But what I'm telling you, if they can do it to Detroit, they can do it to anywhere else. And when they do it to L.A., you're going to be, oh, good, get rid of all the illegal aliens, get rid of all the liberals. No, that's not the neighborhoods they're going to hit. And the pastor, who was almost as big as a house in that video, by the way, said, you know, it's like ethnic cleansing. And, you know, people are going to, oh, he's overreacting. Well, it's not ethnic cleansing, it's socioeconomic cleansing. They don't care if you're black, white, yellow, green, blue, purple, or from the planet Zephyrus. I don't know if there's really a planet Zephyrus, but I couldn't come up with one off the top of my head that sounded funnier. But it is. It's class warfare. It's class warfare. And they want to concentrate and diminish the population. Plus, evicting people just at random like that. You know, no, there's nothing wrong with your house, but you have to move because we have big plans for this. It's going to be a park. It's going to be a park. We're going to put a thoroughfare. It's going to be an industrial. They'll put a lot of industrial storage buildings.
Yeah.
That's what they're. And the same thing is happening here in the Central Valley. 400,000 acres of unwatered farmland, because it's going into foreclosure. The farmers can't farm. Guess what? They're hocked up to their eyes because they got to have new tractors every year, and the farm subsidies aren't enough. So they're not making their payments. So it's going to refer back to these corporations who are going to pick them up, and they're going to put huge storage buildings on them. That's the plan, especially here in Tulare County. And they want to reactivate the railway. We have an old railway here that hasn't been used. Help me out, Rocky. I don't think it's been used since the 70s. The agricultural railways, they want to build huge tilt-up buildings so they can use it for storage so that, because they say there's no room in the harbor cities.
Or those solar farms.
The solar farms. They want to set up solar farms. They want to take away private farms and put up solar farms and windmill farms so the people in San Francisco can feel good about running their hot tub.
Yeah.
It's all the same plan, whether it's California, Detroit, New Orleans, Miami, it doesn't matter. So we've got to stop being separatists by our states on this issue. Let's see, what do we got here? People in the same social bracket get mad at me and my wife. Yeah. There's something there from the LA Times. Save that article, Lou, so I can read it after the show. But the plan's working. They're working their plan. They're moving their chess pieces, and I hate to say this, and you guys will say, well, maybe you're wrong because you don't know what I'm doing. Well, yeah, I don't know what you're doing because I'm kind of in a vacuum. I only know a handful of militias around the country and even less than that here in California. Most people are just spinning their wheels. They're not getting their stuff together. They're not networking and checking things out and exchanging data. We meet with militias all the time. And very seldom does that relationship continue because most of them are too scared of their own shadows. But these stories are not going to stop in the slums and the ghettos of America. And if you're living in Detroit, don't be mad at me. I may not have a perfect vision, but I know what I see, and I see the statistics. I said before, it was like let's say 250,000 homes in the last 3 months have been foreclosed upon. That's 250,000 families that are somewhere else. That's 250,000 homes that are now vacant across America. It's a record number. Now, I looked up, most of it's Las Vegas, Detroit, and then there's some other cities. It's like Stockton, Sacramento, Madera. A bunch of them are in California. Who's going to move into these? Well, eventually they're going to say they're nuisances here, just like they're saying they're a nuisance in Detroit. Now, you guys got Devil Night and all that, and maybe I'm blown out of proportion, but I do, you know, I get my stuff from the news, and it's all filtered and twisted. But eventually that kind of stuff's going to happen here, the broken windows scenario. And Graham242 saying, our neighbors are more concerned with football and the latest TV instead of stocking up on supplies or watching the building next door. What's this? Rocky Hill Ranger says, Whiskey Pete's has steak and eggs. I don't know why he's putting that in there. We've had people buy homes in Detroit to have them foreclosed on because they only paid $500 for the home, but are taxed as if it's a $1 million home. It's a no-win situation. Kobayashi Maru. You can't even flip these homes, right? Well, we're going to take a break here. I want you guys to check out DutchJones.info. DutchJones.info. Go to the chip in there. We need a little help. We're not reaching our goal. We've got some shortcomings. We got to pay some stuff. We'll send you stuff. We'll send you stuff. We got things to send you. We'll be back after the break.
Spirit lives on in truth and miracles. Who answer the call, protect and defend. No point to life without liberty, so I'll stand for what's right. As long as I breathe, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. Every time I hear children say the pledge of allegiance, I'm reminded there's no price too high for freedom. To keep America first, last and forever. We must stand our ground, fighting together. There's no point to life without liberty, so I'll stand for what's right. As long as I breathe, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. I'm a patriot. Color me red, white, and blue. Fellow patriots, America's counting on you. And I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. There's no point to life without liberty, so I'll stand for what's right. As long as I breathe, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. I'd rather on my knees. There's no point to life without liberty, so I'll stand for what's right. As long as I breathe, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees.
Then you wake up at the high school level and find out that the literacy level of our children are appalling.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
Government.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to
touch Jones Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
The United States.
That's it? Just the United States?
Third, this bill meets our commitment to America's armed forces by preparing them to meet the threats of tomorrow. Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. We must never stop thinking about how best to defend our country. We must always be forward-thinking.
Well, there you have it right there. I mean, he flat-out admits that they're really good at attacking us. Hello, Carla. I didn't notice you were in there. There's a bunch of people in there. If I didn't say hello to you, don't take it personal. I saw Flora Dave in there. Florida Dave. Flory Dave. Gunslinger, of course, is in there. We're having a good time. We're talking about lots of different things. As always, this is an open forum. You find something interesting, although when Rocky Hill Ranger started putting the menu up at the truck stop he's at, I thought that was a bit much. But if you get something that's political, martial, Christian, you want to talk about, and I missed it, which isn't hard to do because I have a real limited input of resources. You know, I read the internet. That's pretty much it. It's posted up there. If you were just joining us, Ed just gave us something from CNN that talked about they're redistributing the neighborhoods. Pretty much, they're bulldozing. Just like when in the old days in the Dark Ages, the king would say, "Oh, go vacate the beggar's forest," and they'd go just wipe everything out, move everybody out, eminent domain it, yeah. Annex it. Yeah, eminent domain, condemning it.
Still living in those homes.
Yeah. Well, Stacy's a little angry about it. Not that she wants to live in the facility, but she is the co-owner of it was a secondhand store that you guys had in West Virginia. What was the name of the town?
If you know,
Cumberland, West Virginia. New Cumberland, West Virginia. And I don't know if I've talked about this before.
You can't live there.
I know. It was flooded by the Ohio River. The whole town has been eminent domained by the state, if not the federal government. And this has been going on for over 2 years of paperwork. She has not been paid a penny for the property. In fact, they said they were going to charge her for bulldozing it. So I've been acting as her legal representative, and you know, because we're not going to get a lawyer. But we're telling them that, you know, no, you don't get the charges for this. If you're going to bulldoze it and take the land, that's on you. You're deciding to bulldoze it. We've written some legal documents back and forth. We don't talk about personal stuff too much on here. But it's happening all over the place. Let Rocky know what's going on. He's asking if Debbie's here. Debbie's not here.
Debbie's not here.
We're nowhere near Debbie. They're trying to do the same thing in Flint. They have been trying to evict the people there, but the sheriff won't do any more evictions. So the mayor is going to the governor to ask for the National Guard to come in and evict the people and deal with the gangs. It's funny, Ed, I was going to talk about this because I had the article on the foreclosures that I had, and I was going to talk about this, but I didn't know about the Detroit bulldozings. And yes, they want to bring in state police and National Guard troops because sheriffs are doing their job. One, they're probably sick and tired of it. I mean, 250,000 evictions in 3 months across the country. You may go, well, if you spread that over 50 states, that's still a lot. What is it? Somebody do the math. 250,000 evictions in 3 months. How much is that per month per state? And we know, of course, it's Las Vegas, Detroit, and stuff like that. I mean, it's like a word problem. So, yeah, it's something I should have prepped. But it is amazing to me just how bad this is getting, and yet you watch Fox. Oh, the economy is getting better. Yeah. Do you think gold's like, what 1,300 and something now? I don't follow it every day anymore. I don't have any gold, but the economy's going nuts. The unemployment rate in Los Angeles that they admit to is like 12.9%. The unemployment rate in Tulare County, where I'm at, that they admit to is 19 to 20%, but it's really more like 40%. The people at the VA said, yeah, it's more like 40% because it's an agricultural county. And like if you heard earlier, 400,000 acres not getting water, all those people don't have jobs, all the packers, all the truckers that were related to that, they don't have jobs now. And they had someone come on the radio today, someone from the state office of, you know, like business development. He says, it could take 50 years to recover from this great recession. They keep calling it the Great Recession. It's weird. Carlos saying, I saw a video on the Detroit bulldozing that a friend of mine from Michigan posted, but from what I saw, it was rundown houses, no one living in them. Yeah, well, the one we just showed, Carla, you came late to the show. You have to watch the replay. The video that we just played, the audio portion of, the women in their homes that were perfectly fine, they're being evicted by the city or the county. I don't know which entity it was, but and they were told, that's it. And there's the video right there, Lou. You can cut and paste that, Carla, and you and Chucky Daddy can watch it and go, and get all mad like we did when we heard it. Although I did find the blues guy kind of entertaining, the typical leftist guy. Oh, it's a great idea. You know, of course, you probably live in a really nice high-rise building built by a corporation. I need to look at the LA Times article I posted. In it, Obama is questioned saying, we need the foreclosures for the recovery to move forward. Yeah, okay, then I do know what you're talking about. Yeah, Obama is saying that we've got to basically cut away all the dead weight and start building again because this will cause a housing boom. You know, all that kind of stuff. So quoted, that he was quoted saying, we need, yeah, I get it. Thanks, Ed. And I heard some of that stuff this morning. I was up at 4:30 and I was listening to LA radio and I heard that in there. And I was listening to this guy handle on the news. He's like this Jewish left-wing guy, but he's fair on KFI. And he was like, what? What do you mean? We're, you know, this is going to stimulate the economy. These foreclosures are good? Because banks now, they're investigating the banks to say, hey, maybe you're foreclosing a little too fast. And, you know, so there's the different hands of the beast don't know what the other hand's doing. It's not even left and right hand because it's like Shiva, the multi-handed demon or whatever. And did I say the right goddess? I don't know. Vishnu, or is it Shiva? I never remember. Is Shiva the elephant? I can't remember what these cults use. But yeah, it's just like Pelosi saying that food stamps are a boost to the economy and that welfare creates jobs. I'm here to tell you the welfare in this county of Tulare, there's no jobs to put people on. This whole welfare to work thing is a joke in this county. There's no jobs. They had people working for the county, picking up trash, sorting envelopes. What were some of the other things we saw them doing? They were out painting curbs. And then when the budget crashed, they had to get them all gone. So there is no welfare to work. Everybody that's on welfare is just sitting at home accepting it. And I'm not knocking people that are doing that if they're using that money as a means of resistance. You know, if we were in Nazi Germany and I could steal money from the Nazi coffers and use it to buy ammo, I'd do it. I'm looking at welfare, Social Security, all that stuff the same way. Yeah, Olima was saying they should have just let the banks all collapse. The Senate was trying to put a hold on foreclosures. Yeah, that was in the story that I heard too, Ed. They want the Senate, the Senate and the Congress to decide, you know, who gets to stay in their home. Can you imagine the bureaucracy? Somebody 3,000 miles away, or however far Washington, D.C. is, I think it's 3,500 miles. I don't know. I haven't driven there in years. Deciding what's happening here. Well, here in California, the problem is that they wrote loans for four or five families in one house. And yes, it's mostly illegals and a lot of legal immigration that came in, the Asians and stuff. And it just didn't work. And then before the break, Ed was saying that people pay $500 for a house, but they get assessed a tax of $1 million. The county loves that with the church because we've got 24 acres that are being held in a church close under the name of Jesus Christ. And we had talked about maybe selling 10 to 15 acres of that just because we don't want to upkeep it. You know, I think it's a bad idea because I think it's a good resource to have because we don't get taxed on it. It's tax immune. It's not tax exempt. It's tax immune because we fought them on it. But the county's like, oh yeah, sell that, because there's like four houses on that. We can tax all those. It'll raise the tax revenue off that property. And it's great, you know, because you see the real face there. Like where we live in the Three Rivers Cahuilla area, for the whole county, our big county of Tulare, go look at it on a map. We account for 60% of the taxes because we're a tourism site. And the homes, some of the homes are, bless you, Lewis, some of the homes are multi-million dollar. We account for 60% of the taxes taken into the whole county, especially now that the farms are defunct. Hello, who do we have? Hang on. Let's try this.
Start with the menu.
Okay, let's switch. Hang on.
Ed, if you're listening, did they ever fix the roads in Romulus?
Romulus? The roads in Romulus? I don't know. What was
right.
That?
I mean, they were just ripped to shreds about 10 years ago. I don't think there's anything left that they haven't fixed them.
I don't think anything in Michigan has been built up.
I'm surprised they even get a wrecking crew and they didn't even do anything. I mean, the roads were so bad.
Yeah, well, Detroit's got lots of contractors sitting around doing nothing. They're probably all private contractors going to be bulldozing.
He said no.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ed says the roads were not rebuilt.
But, I can't imagine how bad the potholes are now.
Right.
Romulus. It's the wrong ones they're doing. That's why it's called Romulus.
Romulus, the wrong
one. Yeah, you said the Kobayashi Maru Road here.
Yeah, Ed's saying that they want to rip out 50%.
I drive the truck now, and you drive around everywhere, and you see those stupid signs, that part of the Investment and Stimulus Act or whatever.
Yeah, I've seen
those.
How
much money do they spend on those signs? I think they did a news article on that. They spent $10-20 million
on just signs.
Signs up, but for what?
Yeah.
Just to say that you're working? I never see anything already being done.
Right.
That pertains to that. That's a joke. I mean, where could that money have gone? It could have went to something better.
Well, anytime they take our money away from us, they never use it for its intended its intentions anyway.
Of course not. Of course not. It's ridiculous. And CNN's got that stupid thing on there about follow the stimulus money and track it where it's going. That's all staged.
Well, we see California got a big chunk of that, and they're building all these four-lane highways that go to farms that no longer farm.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no water, so why are they building four-lane highways out in Kings County right now, and it's all stimulus package?
Yeah, well, what's up with that? So there's supposed to be little farms. What's supposed to be there? They're going to put big apartment complexes, probably.
Right.
House people, government housing.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's a little decentralized, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was factories and stuff to put everybody to work in.
Definitely. Well, let me give the Rocky Hill Ranger tip of the day. You know, you can go to truck stops and stuff like that, and for people out there, if you can put CBs in your car, and that's a good way to communicate back and forth, but I do suggest that try to keep it undercover. Make a little box to hide it in or something like that so it's not out in the open.
Sure.
And if you can, find a way to hide it. Don't let the CB antenna just dangle out the roof. Now, on a truck, that's fine. They're supposed to have them. That's normal. But you drive around with a CB antenna on your roof, there's no need to hide the CB in the car, is there?
Right.
So, yeah, so, you know, find a way to put it in there. Make it where they got to strip the whole car apart to find, the French connection. You look for scanners, too. They used to sell scanners in truck stops, people, but they don't anymore. They'll sell the radar detectors, which are illegal to have in a truck to begin with, in a truck stop, which is ironic.
Really?
They don't sell the scanners anymore. The only place I can find them is Radio Shack.
Yeah, they're online everywhere. I've got like I'll have to give the website. I've been exploring this really cool website. It's like, it's in Asia, and you can get 2-meter radios. You can get brand new stuff, any brand name you want, dirt cheap. It's like 409.com or something. I gotta find it, but so that's cool. Okay, well, that's a good idea, Rocky. And be aware, there are stealth antennas you can buy. They cost a lot, but you can buy stealth antennas, or you know, you're gonna limit your range with those kind of things. But maybe right. Just take the antenna off, keep the mount somewhere, and put the antenna on when you're using it. Some
that's
people
true.
quick connects, magnetic mount antennas are great. Keep the magnetic mount antenna under the seat when you need it. Reach out the window, pull your, remember Kojak, you'd always pop that light on top.
Yeah.
Just do that with your antenna. That's what I do. I've got 3 or 4 magnetic mount antennas now, 1 2-meter and 3 CB antennas that we use, and one for a scanner. You mentioned scanner. We've got scanners that just plug into a lighter plug outlet. We got like a bay of them. And when things, because when things were going on through Tari, we got that scanner going, and we drove around looking to see if anything else was going on. We kept the scanner on.
Yeah, you know, we'll have to do a show sometime on the bug out vehicle. I don't think you ever did one on that. That's a good.
Not since you've been listening, but I've done bug out vehicle ones before. So yeah, you're right. It might be time to do another one.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I seen the magnetic antennas in the truck stop the other day. I want a lightning ball to put on my truck and reach up there and stick one of lightning balls.
So,
you know, they used to sell it
up, John T's. Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, Rocky.
Okay, thanks, Dutch.
Good night.
See you guys.
Bye. And it's Rocky, one of our friends here that listens to the show. He went out and he's driving truck, and he got himself one of those Wi-Fi card things, Internet Anywhere, so he could continue to listen to the show. That's dedication. Thank you, Rocky. Ed saying there's a website where you can listen to most scanners around the U.S. in every state and almost every county. That's right. I'm trying to remember. Is it scannerfreak.com was one of them. Scannerfan.com was another one. Because I remember when the L.A. riots, not the L.A. riots, when Katrina was going on, we were doing those. We were listening to all the stuff going on there on the Internet. I remember there was one that was nothing but high-speed chases. They would default to whatever high-speed chase was going on in any city in America, and you could listen to them. You know, when that was the big thing back in the 90s, everybody wanted to, you know, to sit and watch nothing but 24 hours of high-speed chases. Listening to them on the radio is not that exciting, I can tell you that. I haven't turned my scanner on in a while, and maybe I should. I turn it on when the DEA agents come in and start looking for marijuana and stuff in the hills to see what's going on. Or if I hear an aircraft going over, I do that. We've got aircraft radios and stuff. But, yeah, Rocky's point was well taken. What you want to do is get yourself some communications equipment. Even if it's just magnetic mount, lighter plug stuff, keep it in the vehicle. We were talking before he came on. I was talking to Scotty38. He retransmits this and I believe a bunch of other Liberty Tree Radio stuff over CBs. And he told me all he does is take the cover off, put a fan on it, and it keeps going. Because when I was a kid, I did a lot of pirate stuff, an outright pirate. I was a shortwave pirate, FM pirate, AM pirate. If I could get a baby monitor, I'd use it. We even did some television pirate stuff back in the 80s before anybody was really doing it that I know of. And we burned up a lot of CBs. So, you know, there you go. It's nice to know. People could learn from Scotty 38. Find a way, hire matey, and do it. I mean, we're doing it right now out of the church, but we're on sovereign property. That's what we tell everybody. We are the sovereign church at Kauai, and they don't come on. We've been doing it for a decade now, and as long as we don't, this is what they told me when I called the FCC. Well, you're not bothering anybody. We're not getting any complaints. You're not running commercials, which isn't necessarily true, because when we run Liberty Tree Radio, we play all their commercials because we want to help them out as much as we can. Other people, we kind of cut their commercials out when we run stuff, but not Liberty Tree, not the intelligence report by any means. And then they said, and you're not being profane, which is true. We're not profane. Not since we got rid of, what was it, Nicholas's network is called? First Amendment Radio. They had some disgusting stuff on there. Not swearing or anything, but it was just, yes, really annoying stuff, and promoting, you know, polygamy and things like that. So we got that off of there. But and they said as long as your antenna is not above, I think it's 75 feet or 80 feet, so we cranked it down to like 70 feet when we had a tower. We don't have a tower anymore. Now it's 40 feet up in a pine tree, and because the tower got tore down in a windstorm. I'm probably not running the ads you are, but whatever's coming across the iPod, you know, the feed, we do play those ads. We play Maine Military, the paperweight guys that KT Ordnance. Lou knows all this stuff. He's the programmer. KT Ordnance we run. What else are we running? Trying to think. What other commercials do we have? That may be Micro Effect stuff. Maybe it's Micro Effect. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, we're just taking your feed and running it, so yeah. And we don't care, you know. And quite frankly, there's only two guys for the entire state of California for the FCC for micro-broadcasting. And they're all in L.A. and San Francisco. In fact, they've pretty much vacated San Francisco. You want to hear pirate radio? And granted, it's all going to be hippie, legalized marijuana-type stuff all over. Because Radio Free Berkeley's over there, and they are just, they're like Johnny Appleseed, man. They are planting transmitters all over the Bay Area, and they're getting their agenda out. When I go talk to them, I just pretend I'm a hippie. And, you know, hey, man, when I first got stuff from them, they're like, well, what's your programming? Oh, it's anti-war, anti-Bush, man, which is true. You know, we're anti-Gulf War, we're anti-Bush. And they're like, cool, and they saved us like $300 on our first purchase. It was going to cost like $2,000, and they gave us a complete discount. And then the amplifier that we got this time, they didn't question. You know, I thought they kind of figured us out, but they hadn't, because one of the emails I used was a giveaway. I had a fake email, and I messed up and emailed him from one of the churches once. So. But he doesn't seem to care, that guy over there. Have I heard of Seattle Wireless? No, I don't believe I have, Ed. I don't know what that is. But I'm for any, you know, anybody that's doing anything like this, as long as their message isn't, you know, like some, you know, mosque doing the prayers 24 hours a day, which I'd like to go rip that down if that were to happen. But, yeah, freedom of the airwaves, man. Freedom of the airwaves. And relay stations everywhere. And, you know, you've got Scotty over there playing our stuff. If Scotty was going to do something, get up on you broadcast and do something, we'd play him here. And if we had the 24-hour access to Internet, we'd be streaming on the Internet 24 hours a day. Okay, Ed's saying it's a program started by Seattle students to get free Wi-Fi to everyone in Seattle. See, I've heard a lot of that. They're doing that in San Francisco. They're doing it in a bunch of cities around. Cupertino's doing it. They just want free Wi-Fi. And I remember when Wi-Fi first came out, I used to get on these websites for hotspots. Remember that's what it was called? Before businesses were even supplying it. It was places where, like, corporations just had big leaky Wi-Fi signals and they didn't protect them. Yeah, using the Pringle cans, the unidirectional antennas. You use a Pringle can with a high-gain antenna on the inside. I've done that. Right now what we've got, we were playing around with it. I've got a satellite TV receiver dish, and I put the Wi-Fi antenna in the middle of it, and we're playing with that, seeing what kind of range we can get out of it. And there's high gain antennas, I think up to 17 dB gain for Wi-Fi now. There's some pretty exciting stuff out there. And unfortunately, we've got such limited bandwidth. That's one of the reasons we came down here early. We were running out of bandwidth. We want to play with that. And if they're going to do, you know, the FCC has a plan to do Wi-Fi in just about every major city. They were going to do it rural. Remember, I don't know if you guys remember this. They were going to pump Wi-Fi through power lines. But what it was going to do was interfere with emergency radio frequencies and ham frequencies. Do you remember that one, Ed? And they just stopped it dead in its tracks. I don't know if the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League, it was about 2 years ago I heard them talking about it, and I haven't heard it since. And you're right. They do want to control the Wi-Fi. That way they can turn it on and turn it off, and they can monitor it and everything else. But if you go around just anonymously borrowing it from people, you know, that's cool. And somebody's saying they do it in France. Because I know we would lose a big chunk of the 440 band if they did that. That's what I was told by my ham radio guys. And it'd be, you know, they would be in control of it, as Ed says. But we as guerrillas would have to figure out a way to shield ourselves and use it for the cause, just like everything else, just like payphones, cell phones, the railway, sidewalks, whatever it is. Whatever they build, we're going to twist it to our cause. We're going to push the full crown rights of the true cause of liberty of Jesus Christ into everything. That includes the equipment that they set up. You know, I'd love a way to figure out how to hijack their satellites and send signals out. Wouldn't that be cool? You know, if we could just grab a satellite and do like an hour of Dutch Jones a day and move the transmit site around, then they'd start looking for me. They wouldn't like that very much if they did that. A lot of you guys, I love the I haven't talked about it in a while, but it's the Firefly series. Serenity was the movie, and they had a guy on there that just he hacked the entire intergalactic internet, and they got some proof out of something that the federal government had done, because it was kind of a civil war in space kind of thing. And I just love that part, and I wish they had exploited that even more, because you know that he was hacking their system. You can still order the modem. That you have to do is plug it into the wall and one cable to your PC, and you're online. Wow, that's through the power grid. That's for the UK. And for some reason, it got stopped dead here. I'm sure that there were too many arguments over, you know, protocols and formats. And the ham guys and the emergency services radio people were like, wait a minute, we're losing a bunch of frequencies. Well, what they were going to do is when TV went digital, they were going to give them all the frequencies that were left over from, you know, the analog TV channels. I don't know where that's going. Maybe that's what they're waiting for. Well, guys, this is one of those days where I wish it were 3 hours, but I need a nap. And there's probably another show coming up. Thank you for listening. I'm Dutch Jones. This has been the Dutch Jones Radio Program, going out on all kinds of venues. But I'd really like to thank Scotty 38 for retransmitting us. I'd like to thank Sir David for retransmitting us. I would especially like to thank Liberty Tree Radio for sending us out and putting us out over the airwaves. It is more than advanced this cause, the holy cause of liberty. Just remember, everything we do, everything you do, must be coram Deo in the face of God. And if you share this belief, if you want to know more, you can contact us at dutchjones.info. Dutch, J-O-E-N-S, .info. I got a bunch of complaints that I'm saying it too fast. You can email me at dutch@dutchjones.info. Again, dutch@dutchjones.info. And again, don't use the number that was announced here. I don't think we're going to be doing a show tomorrow. We have to be at the train station, and there's no Wi-Fi there. We tried it last time, and it didn't work. And the train doesn't come until like 6. So it's right in the middle of the show. So I'm going to be 40 miles away at a train station. So thank you for listening. If you like what we're doing here, help us out at the chip-in. Your help is always needed to advance the cause. We want to buy more equipment and hand it out. And Stacy will make sure you get stuff. She will make sure you get stuff. Thank you, Ed. Personally, I want to thank you. Good night, Carla. Good night, Olima. Good night, guest number 699, whatever you are. Good night, Rocky Hill. Good night, Scotty, Gunslinger. Everybody else is bailing already. All you guests in there, if you missed it, it'll come around again as soon as Lou saves it. What'll come right up away will be yesterday's show, so you have to reset in about a minute after Lou stops the show. Good night. God bless you and all you do in the Holy Cause of Liberty.